experienced in praise and worshiping our God. How many are glad for that? Say amen. And thank you for working so hard. None of that happens by accident, you know. People give of themselves, they give of their time, they give of their energy to sing, to glorify Christ. And I'm so glad to be in a church this morning where it's done the right way. And thank you so much. Pastor, I want to say what a blessing it is for me to be here with you this morning and to be back here at Chatham Mountain Baptist Church. I love this church. I thank God for it. I love your pastor and his family and so many of you that have been friends here really for a lot of years. My wife and I and our family have been coming down here really since 2004 and preaching and being involved in the ministry here from time to time. And I remember the first time I came and really got to know the Haynes family, and they've just grown, and God has blessed, and now they have a grandchild. Isn't that a blessing? And how many believe grandchildren are just God's reward for us putting up with their parents? Amen. But they are great, and we just love them, and just so glad to be here. Looking forward to a great time together. Some of you don't know me, and I don't know you. My name is Lou Rossi, and we live in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And so thankful for the goodness of the Lord. I pastor the Granite Baptist Church in Glen Burnie, and our church let me get away for a few days to be here. My wife Susan was going to come, and trust me, if she came, you'd like her a lot better than you like me. And she is a blessing. We've been married now for 37 years, into our 38th year, and the Lord is good. We just had our sweetheart banquet on Friday night, and had a wonderful time and a good crowd there together, and heard some great things about marriage. I heard about a couple that they were had been married a number of years, and they turned 60 on the same day. And their same birthday, same time, right around Valentine's Day, and they were all excited about it, talking about it, and suddenly an angel appeared out of nowhere. An angel appeared to them and said, "Happy birthday. You can each have one wish, anything you want. You can have anything you want. Happy 60th birthday." So the angel said, "Ma'am, you can go first." And she thought about it. She said, "I'd like to have 2 round-trip tickets to around the world, to go on a round-the-world tour with my hubby. That's what I want for my 60th birthday." Shazam, puff of smoke. She had 2 tickets in her hand. Then the angel said, "Sir, you can have a wish, anything you'd like for your birthday, anything at all for your 60th birthday." He thought for a minute. He said, "I'd like for my wife to be 30 years younger than me." Shazam, puff of smoke, he turned 90, amen? And anyway, you better be careful what you ask for. And how many believe he deserved that, amen? And it is great to be here. And again, I heard about a church that had a brand new building, and I love this place. It looks beautiful. I haven't seen the new auditorium yet. And they had been praying about a building. And don't you know, a lot down the street, they've been praying about it. There was a bar there. It was a tavern, a terrible place. And it burned to the ground. And the pastor went down there and made a bid on the property. They got the property for next to nothing. Praise the Lord. They bought the property, built a beautiful new church auditorium there. They were so excited. Opening Sunday, dedication day, there they were singing out, had a beautiful church with rafters. And while they were singing, the pastor looked up, and there was a Paul Parrot sitting right up on the rafter. Come to find out, he had been living in the bar all those years. That was his home. When it burned down, he escaped. And during the building, he moved in right there at the rafter, right there above the auditorium. The pastor looked up and said, "Paul Parrot, what are you doing up there?" The parrot looked down and went, he whistled and went, new building, same old crowd. Anyway, my prayer, some of you will get that later. Anyway, it is a beautiful building, a lot of the same folks. And, you know, a church really, it is always made up of people that are just faithful. Amen. And churches go through tough times. They go through difficulties. They go through trials. But it's people that just stay with it and keep on glorifying God. And by the grace of God, you know, sometimes we come to church and it just seems like God is working in a great way. I think this morning the Lord was just glorified in the song service. Sometimes we come to church and it's like toast with no butter or jelly on it. It's all the same. And marriage is like that. Do I have an amen? We have good days. We have some tough days. We have seasons of marriage where it's just wonderful and little canaries. canaries are flying around our heads, and sometimes it's just a trial, and we're literally tested. It's being faithful for the glory of God. And I'm glad my wife is a faithful wife, and I'm glad that God has allowed us to be together these years. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of your pastor and of his wife and family here in this place. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning, if we may, to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, and I'll try not to preach too long this morning. The book of Mark, chapter number 1, and I will preach rapidly, so you'll need to hang with it. I'll preach probably 40 miles an hour with gusts up to 90, and we may hit G5 before it's all over with. But I'd like to look at the book of Mark, chapter number 1, Mark's Gospel, and I would like to begin reading, if I may, in verse number 40. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter 1, verse number 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning about a man that had a very, very specific need in his life, but who came to Christ during a very important time in his life, and how that Jesus met that need as only he can. I want to speak on the subject this morning about this man whom the Bible declares in another portion of Scripture, a man who was full of leprosy. He was in the advanced stage of a very horrible, dreaded disease. And the Lord Jesus, how he met that need, and how he left Christ and was completely and utterly and totally healed and cleansed. I want to speak on the subject today, lessons from a leprous man. Lessons from a leprous man. And if we had the time, I would like to read another portion of the Scripture. You don't need to turn there. But it would be found in Hezekiah chapter 3 and verse 9. How many of you know there is no book of Hezekiah? Chapter 3 and verse 9. If there was, the book of Hezekiah chapter 3 and verse 9 would say this, Thou shalt be in church tonight. If thou missest 5 o'clock service tonight, bad things shall happen to thee. So be in church tonight, amen? Try to come tonight, tomorrow night, and Monday night. Tomorrow night is Monday night. I'm 3 hours behind. I don't know what time it is. I don't know what day it is. Tomorrow night and Tuesday night, we're going to have a wonderful time here together. This week will go right by, and I promise I'll try to be as brief and concise as I can, get right in, and have a great time in the Word of God tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together as we consider the subject, Lessons from a Leprous Man. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the great time of worship and praise and adoration we've already had. We thank you that you are the audience, and you are the receiver of our praise, and we pray it's been acceptable in thy sight. May you work in our midst. May you glorify yourself. Thank you for what you will do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. All of God's people said together, you may be seated. Thank you for standing for so long. Our text this morning is an event that occurs very early in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Christ began his earthly ministry at the age of 30. He had been in obscurity in the city of Nazareth, and grew there in wisdom and stature with God and men. And then he goes down and begins to make his debut. He makes his appearance in the city of Nazareth, where he literally reads from the Scripture and begins his earthly ministry. He had come down from Nazareth, down to the region of Capernaum, and was there the day before in the city of Capernaum, where he went into the synagogue there and cast a demon out of a man who was possessed of devils and goes over into Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house and spent the evening there. Now he goes out into a desert region to pray. He has already gone and been baptized by John the Baptist in the River of Jordan, and he has gone out into the wilderness and been tempted of the devil 40 days, 40 nights, and now his ministry has begun. There begins to grow a fame about Christ around the region. They are seeking him wherever he goes. And now he goes into the regions of Galilee and goes about preaching the word of God, going into their synagogues, lifting up the gospel, and letting men know that good news has finally come for a fallen and lost world. Now as he is about the region of Galilee, the Bible said that he preached in their synagogues, verse 39, throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him. You understand that this leprous man had been born with leprosy and likely had been suffering from this dreaded disease all the days of his life. He had no cure. There was no way to make him better. He had likely already gone to the high priest and offered his offering up. And yet this man got the word, you have leprosy, it's terminal, and you'll never get better from this awful and dreaded disease. This man breaks in with a specific need. He does what he's not allowed to do. He's not allowed to come near other people. All the days of his life, he'd been living all alone in isolation. But he hears that there's this new miracle worker who has come to the region, who is casting out sick, healing the sick. He is casting out devils. And this man, whom some even have the audacity to say that perhaps he is the Messiah. He comes and says, if he is indeed the Messiah, I need to find him. I need to get near him. So he comes to Christ, and the Bible says, kneeling down to him, beseeching him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus was moved with compassion. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus is one who is full of compassion? And he looks at him, and he reaches out, and he says, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Each leprosy cell looked at the other and said, let's get out of here. I hear Jesus is in town. And the Lord Jesus healed him and made him every whit whole. Now, if you study your Bible, you're going to find that the word leprosy was as bad as the word that we have for cancer in our society today. A dear lady in our church just got news that she has stage 4 cancer, and they have told her that they can't operate. They will give her chemotherapy. They've even given her a very short time to live. And yet, understand the fact that our God is still in heaven. Our God is still in control. And yet, he had the awful diagnosis that he was a leper. There were 3 types of leprosy at the time of the Bible, especially at the time of Christ. There was red leprosy, there was black leprosy, and there was white leprosy. These 3 forms of leprosy. Leprosy was a dreaded disease that would begin in the marrow. It would begin way down inside where no one can see, and the leprosy would begin to work its way in from the marrow and work its way out to each joint and work its way out throughout the body. Only the first indicators of leprosy were normally spots that would appear around the nose, around the eyes, and this leprous disease was a disease of separation. It would separate one's limb from the other, the knuckle from the finger, the hand from the wrist, the knee, the shin from the knee, and the joints would begin to separate, and literally, one at a time, a person's limbs would begin to die and to fall off when this awful disease would take over one's life. It is a great picture in the Bible, especially the Old Testament. The Bible always depicts leprosy as a form of sin. There are so many parallels when we look at leprosy. I could give you a few of these. First of all, leprosy was an internal disease. It always began on the inside. And I can tell you this morning that sin is an internal disease. It begins with the heart. James said in chapter chapter 1, verse number 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then lust, when it had conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You don't have to wonder whether each one of us is a sinner. Do you understand the fact that all of us were born into sin? In fact, leprosy was not only an internal disease, leprosy was an inherited disease. You would pass the leprosy gene and the leprosy infection from mom down to dad. If a mother had a child who was a leper, you didn't have to question. We knew this child was going to be a leper, and they'd be born in a leper colony, and their whole life would be always with the anticipation when the day when this disease finally broke out and destroyed their body. I can tell you that sin is not only internal, sin is inherited. The Bible said in Romans 3:23, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to wonder if a little child is a sinner. All of us have sinned. Do you believe that? Say amen. You say, well, Pastor, I think my little child is a sweet little angelic creature, and my little three-year-old would never do wrong. You put two little boys into a sandbox together and leave them alone, and they'll choke each other over a Tonka toy. Amen? They'll kill each other over a Lego. Why? Because sin is a part of the human race. It is a part of us, of all of us. I'll never forget, my son came in to the room, and my wife had just made beautiful, wonderful chocolate chip cookies. I said, kids, no cookies until mom says so. We'll have milk. We'll have cookies, but you have to wait. He came into the room. One of the cookies was missing. There was a hole right there. I could see where one of them had gotten it. And he came in the room, toddling in, maybe 3 years old. And I said, son, did you take that cookie? He looked up at me with big brown eyes, with crumbs sticking right out of the corner of his mouth, a little bit of chocolate from the little chip there. He said, no, sir, I didn't steal the cookie. I said, did you take the cookie? No, sir, I didn't take the cookie. I said, you know what happens when people lie? No, sir, they have to tell another lie and another lie. In fact, if you lie, you better have a good memory, because then you can remember what you said. Amen? And I said, you will become a liar if you continue to lie. Son, did you take the cookie? And a big old tear started to run down his cheek. His little lip began to quiver. And he looked at me, brother, he looked at me as a professional three-year-old liar originally, and said, no, I didn't take the cookie. And if I was gullible and naive, I would have believed him. But I could see the evidence after forensic investigation that he had that chocolate chip hanging out of the corner of his mouth. You say, where did that come from? Certainly from his mother's side of the family. Amen? No, it came from his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam, that we all have been passed on. We have this infection that has destroyed the human race. It is called sin. It was inherited. It was internal. Thirdly, it was not only inherited and internal, this disease was infectious. If you had leprosy, you'd get around other people and you would give them leprosy, and you had to be very careful not to give the people the leprosy that you had received. Do you understand that sin is infectious? In fact, the Bible said in Hebrews 12:15, lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness springing up, and thereby many be defiled. I have found that sinners never like to be alone. They like to have others involved in their sin. In fact, Proverbs chapter 1, you'll find the little phrase, let us join in. Let us have one purse. Let us do. Sinners are always looking for other sinners to be involved. Gossip is no fun unless you have somebody to gossip to. Amen. I heard the story of three pastors that were out on a retreat, and they were all sitting down together and around the campfire, and decided, let's have a little time of confession, and let's confess one to another. The first pastor was a Lutheran, and he said, I'm a Lutheran pastor, and I'll just tell you guys, I drink too much wine, and okay, we'll pray for you. The second pastor said, I'm a Methodist pastor, and I take money out of the offering plate when nobody's looking. Please pray for me. The third pastor said, I'm a Baptist pastor, and I really gossip a lot, and I can't wait to get home. But anyway, we all have to be careful. Is everybody okay? And we have to be careful, because sin is infectious. It hurts others. It stains and it defiles our life. So that it was an internal disease, an inherited disease, an infectious disease, and it was an isolating disease. A man who had leprosy had to be set apart. He couldn't be around other people. He couldn't spend time with his friends and his family who did not have leprosy. In fact, they would place them into a leper colony and set them there alone all the days of their life. If you came near a leprous man under Hebrew law, under Levitical law, he was commanded by God to wear bells on the bottom and the fringe of his coat. If you came near him, he had to put a napkin over his mouth. And if you came near a leper, he was required by law to say, "Unclean, unclean." He had to walk on the other side of the street. He was made to stay alone. In fact, Leviticus said this about him, this leprous man. God said in Leviticus 13, verse 44, speaking of the leprosy, he said, "If the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of his flesh, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. The plague is in his forehead. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean all the days wherein the plague shall be in him. He shall be defiled. He is unclean." Listen to this. "He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." Imagine the day when you went to a doctor and they said, "We're sorry, you'll have to go to the priest. I believe you may have leprosy." And the priest finally diagnoses the case, and this white scalding that's coming out of a forehead and these reddish spots around him. And the priest says, "I'm sorry, you have leprosy. You are unclean. You are cut off from society. You are utterly and completely and totally alone without the camp." Do you understand? That's where we were without God. We were isolated from God. We could not come into the presence of the Lord. We could not seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Though we have religious exercises, though we may have had some ordinances or sacraments or whatever you would call them, no matter what we tried to do, we were cut off from God because of this disease that is called sin. In fact, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We were cut off. God said we were aliens and enemies from the life of God. We were separated from God. But this man who is a leper, while in his isolated condition, one of his friends hobbles along with his rags wrapped around him, covering up his extremities that are falling off, covering up the open sores in his body, and said, "Have you heard about the miracle worker from Galilee? Have you heard about this Jesus of Nazareth? Some say he's the Messiah. Some say he's Christ, the Son of God. Some say that he's God incarnate. I heard that he's already raised the dead. We've heard that he's already healed the sick. He's cast devils out, and he's going around synagogues and casting out the unclean spirits. Perhaps there's hope." And somewhere down in his discouraged and lonely and isolated soul, hope rises up. And he said, "If I can just get to him, perhaps he'll have mercy on me." Do you understand? There is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician who's always ready to save. There is one who loves you, who cares about you. I'm glad to say, if you get to Jesus, you're going to see the little sign, "Walk-ins welcome." Amen? Zero wait station. Hallelujah. Have you ever been to the doctor? And they said, "The doctor will be right with you." 2 hours later, they finally receive you in and come right in, and they're quick, and they're looking at their watch and looking away. I'm glad when you come to Christ, he gives you full attention. He's a God who cares. He is a great high priest who cares about his own. And we see this man who comes in and realizes, as he hears about Jesus, the Bible said that Jesus moved with compassion. Verse number 41, Jesus moved with compassion. Verse 41, what did he do? He put forth his hand and did what? He touched him. Now, he hadn't been touched in a while. Do I have an amen? He hadn't been cared for in a long time. Imagine that during church fellowship times, "Good morning, brother, amen." "Oh, you stay over in the corner. You're not allowed to touch anyone. You can't get near anybody. We love our church, praise God, and people talking about how good everybody is. I love the Lord, and I appreciate this brother and this sister, but not you. You stay over there." He's been in isolation. He has been quarantined from life itself. And now he comes to Jesus, and Jesus reaches out, puts forth his hand, and Jesus touches him. Jesus touched the untouchable. Jesus cured the incurable. He reached out and loved the unlovable and thought the unthinkable in front of all those Pharisees and religious leaders who constantly stroked their little ecclesiastical beards and said, this man receiveth sinners. What is he doing with them? Jesus didn't care. He reached out and said, I will be thou clean. And immediately he was cleansed. Now, I wrote down 3 or 4 lessons about this leprous man. If you're still here, if everybody's still awake, is everybody good? Can I give you 3 or 4 of these? All right, how about 5? Do I hear 6? All right, I'll give you a few of these and we'll be done. Number one, I think about, first of all, there is in this chapter of the Bible a lesson of crisis. Here's a man who's in a real personal dilemma. He has an issue. He's got a problem that can't be solved humanly. He has something that has cannot be cured by the doctors. And he finds out about Jesus and he says, I'm going to Christ. Do you understand this morning? We all have problems. We all have issues. How many of you have problems? Can I see your hand? How many of you have issues? I mean, you're married to somebody who has issues, all right? But no, don't raise your hand. But I mean, we all have our problems. But the problem in life is not that we have problems. Our real issue is not that we have issues. The real problem is what we do when we have a problem and where we go when we have a problem. Here's a man who allowed his problem to drive him to Christ, not away from Christ, and to bring him to the Savior, not away from the Savior. Most people, when they get into trouble, they quit coming to church first. They spend less time at the house of God. You watch them in church services and they start moving back and back and back. And by the way, if you get far enough back, the only place is the door, amen? And they never come back. And you see them downcast, and you see them hurt, you see them moody, and you see them not listening to the Word of God, and they have their eyes downcast and or rolling to the side while the preacher's preaching. You understand, when we have trouble in our life, it is a signal to draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. God wants us to draw near with every heartache, every sorrow, every burden, every problem. And this man learned the lesson of crisis. Boy, my wife and I were enjoying just a little time at the breakfast table in our house in Georgia. We had a family of children. They were small kids, and most of them young, and they were as energetic and just as lively as any kids I've ever seen in my life. I mean, our kids would just sit there like this, moving all the time. They were never still. How many of you have a child who's pretty calm and just sort of not too hyper? Any at all? These children looked like they, you know, like they'd been snorting Pez or something. I mean, they were out of it all the time. So they were just always wired up. And we didn't give them sugar, and they were still wired up. And we were in the breakfast room enjoying the morning, a beautiful day, and sitting there drinking a cup of coffee. We heard a scream from the backyard. How many of you know the difference from a child saying, Mommy, and a scream? I mean, this was a scream. This was a blood-curdling, oh, scream. We both jumped up, ran to the backyard. My wife actually beat me to the tree, and she was running full speed because way up in our tree in the backyard, there was our oldest son dangling, holding from one of the limbs, and his little legs just dangling and about to fall. I never climbed a tree so fast in my life. I mean, Paul Bunyan, I broke his record, and I shot up that tree as quickly as humanly possible, and just when his little hands finally slipped off the limb, I was there to catch him and hold him, and he was crying, oh, and I held him, and I said, all right, it's okay, son, I got you, daddy's got you. I said, oh, thank you, daddy. I said, didn't daddy tell you not to climb this tree? He said, yes, sir. I said, okay, I'll get you down, then I'm gonna get a limb from that tree. But anyway, so I said, we'll deal with you later. But anyway, I sent him up to his room, and he got in trouble and all that. But I'll tell you this, I did not stand at the bottom of that tree and say, what are you doing up there, boy? What's wrong with you? Shouldn't have gone up. You got up there, you get out. Go ahead, Pollyanna. Amen. I mean, let's see what happens to you. I didn't stand at the bottom of the tree. I was a father who cared about his son. And yes, he was in trouble. He directly disobeyed me. He got in trouble later on. But I'm saying that trouble came all later. Consequences come later. I was a father who cared about his child to get him out of trouble. We have a God in heaven who has a great desire to help us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that love him. And Psalm 40, the writer said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. He said, when I cried out to God, God came through. This man came trembling, and he falls before Christ. He says, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. There's a lesson here of crisis. Secondly, there's a lesson of confidence. Let me back up again. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm not done on the first point. When you get in trouble, do you understand that Facebook is not your first resort? I need some help right now. Dear Facebook friends, help. Facebook friends, I've been in prayer for 2 days, and God has given me an answer. And I'm here to tell you that God is going to come through. Dear Instagram, the Lord is good. Our first resort needs to be God himself. So, all right, moving along. There's a lesson of crisis. There's a lesson of confidence. This man was so confident that Christ was going to come through for him that he came into his presence. He knelt down before him. He besought him. And he would have been in grave trouble. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the priests would have said, get out of here. He's a leper. He has no business being here right now. But he heard about one who had victory over devils and disease and demons and all that goes along with it. And he said, I know that God can meet my need. I was with a dear man, and he was in a lot of trouble. I said, you should come to church. He said, I don't have a suit. I said, whoever said you have to have a suit to wear to church? He said, I don't have money for a haircut. I said, Jesus doesn't care about your hair. He cares about your heart. Amen. He cares about where you are in your spiritual life. He said, I don't have this, and I don't know much about the Bible. I said, that's why you need to come. Don't you understand? They that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. The last time I went to the hospital last year, I was stricken with Lyme's disease, and man, it was brutal, and I was really sick. I didn't say, wait, I'll go after I get better. I could barely walk, could barely get out of the chair. I said, somebody get me to the hospital. Was having intense chest pains. I thought it was a heart attack. Somebody get me to a doctor. Do I have an amen? Why? Because I believe the doctor could help me out. And when's the last time you realize our God, Christ, is the great physician? He heals the sick. You know what he can do? How about this? Ephesians 3:20, wherefore he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That's pretty good. Amen. The fact that he said, I am the Lord, I change not. He said, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? How many believe that he's well able to do way beyond what any of us could ever comprehend? He was confident that Jesus would meet his need. I'll hurry on and be done. But thirdly, there's a lesson here of confidence. A lesson, if you will, of crisis, but there's a lesson here of contrition. He came before Christ, and he did not come scolding. He did not come arguing, God, why'd you let this happen to me? I can't believe it. I'm just going to quit out on God. It wasn't like that. He knelt down before him. Look at it, please. Verse number 40. He kneeling down to him, he beseeching him. Beseech means to call one alongside during a time of need. God, please come to my side. Please come to me. Kneeling down before him, this man cries out and says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He said, Lord, I believe that you are able. How many believe that God is able? Maybe you have a wayward son. You have a wayward daughter. You have a child that's breaking your heart. you have a situation in your life, your spouse, someone in your life is hurting you deeply. Maybe you have a situation at work you cannot handle. If there is a God who's well able to do anything, if we'll call upon Him and call upon His name and ask in faith for whatever it would be. There's a lesson of contrition. God said in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Let's go back to our kids again. When your kids are repentant, Mommy, I'm sorry. Daddy, I'm sorry. Do we hold it over their head for the rest of their days? Come here, honey, I love you. We hold them and we tell them how much we love them and care about them. And we teach them what the Bible says. And we train them up in the way they should go. We don't hang that over them every time we see them when they're genuinely repentant and contrite and humble. God is the same way. He wants to restore our life. Then, of course, there's a lesson of compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. God said in Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And He said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace in time of need. He was moved with compassionate. He's a compassionate high priest who loves His children. And finally, in this chapter, there is a lesson here of completion. We find that this man, as he cried out to Christ, the Lord said, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. He was so excited, he went around telling everybody what God had done for him. Look at this. See these hands? They used to be full of leprous sores. He's clean. He is made every whit whole. His life is changed, and he's telling people about it. And the lesson here is this, that when God cleanses us, it's not with the addition of 2 years of penance, of 9 sacraments, and 15 ordinances that we have to observe. Salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. Instantly, He gives us eternal life, and then we grow from there. I was preaching in Baltimore, and my wife and I were young, just starting out. And I'll never forget, I looked out to a man sitting out to my right, sitting by himself. And after the sermon, he came up, he said, Brother, he said, my name is Danny. I said, how you doing, Danny? He gave me his name. He was an Italian man. He said, my name is Danny. He said, we're going to be Paisan from here on out. We're going to be Combati all the way. I said, okay. He said, you're Italian. I said, yes, sir. And he said, so am I, brother. And we met. And he said, let me tell you my story. I met him for lunch. And Danny told me how that God had changed his life. He was called the hitman of the giant food chain on the Eastern Shore. It's a large grocery chain. Giant Foods, I don't know if they have them here, but it was very large in the mid-Atlantic area. And he was called the hitman. He would go into a store, they would make him the manager. If the store was doing poorly, he would go in and clean house and fire all the people that were doing poorly, and he would bring in new employees, get it all going, get it rolling, then bring in a new manager so that the store could make money again. He said, my job was to fire people, and I loved it. He said, I called a man in who'd been lazy and slovenly in his tasks. Said, come on in here. And the man said, yes, sir. What do you want, Mr. Danny? He said, I just want to tell you today, you're fired. Get out of the office. The man said, I'm sorry, sir. He said, this is all I have. This is my livelihood. Danny said he laughed at the man. He was so mean and such an angry man. He would come home at night. He would yell at his wife, Judy, said, make me dinner. Why is dinner not? He was an old school Italian man, he was a prototype, stereotype Italian. Give me my food. Sit down. Bring me the food to the table. And very harsh and demanding. His son, Michael, played football. Danny would throw him the football out at Herring Run Park at Harford Road down in the city, in the city line. He would take him out to throw the ball. And Danny, when he missed the ball and dropped the ball, would have to run all kinds of laps. One day, Danny missed the ball and fell on the ground, or his son, Michael, rather. Danny ran over and kicked him right in the sides and nearly broke his rib. He said, don't ever miss a ball again. That's the kind of a man that Danny was. But then he started weeping at the table. He said, a few months ago, Brother Rossi, I got saved by the grace of God. He said, I met Jesus. He was a drunkard. He was an alcohol abuser. He abused his family. He abused his friends. He used profanity. Instead of using English, he would rather use profanity. But he got saved. And he started crying. He said, preacher, I got saved. But my family's lost. My wife will not come to church. My kids run at the sight of me. They know how mean and abusive I've been. He said, please pray for me and pray with me. He said, wherever you're preaching, I'd like to start coming Sunday nights and bring friends to the meeting. I have so many people at the Giant Store who need to get saved, and they won't listen to me, but maybe I can get them to come. Dan started coming to meetings. I'll never forget it. I'd see he'd be on this side of the auditorium. He'd have 15 and 20 people there from his store. And I'd say, oh, tell me your story. I'd say, well, we're coming because they'll probably fire us if we don't come to church. And one by one, people started coming to Christ. I went into the Giant Store. It was like walking into church. Hey, Brother Rossi. Hey, good to see you, brother. Carly and John and Jim and all these people had been saved by the grace of God, all because of Danny. But Danny would come to the altar every Sunday. And he would come in our home church. We were members of the same church, actually. And he'd come to our home church, and he'd weep at the altar, and I'd hear him, oh, God, I've done so wrong. Please save Judy. Please save Michael. Please save Danny and Katie. And he'd cry out to God for his children, because he knew he'd been saved, but he knew he wasn't complete. And he would call me on Sunday afternoon, brother, what are you preaching about tonight? And I'd say, well, and he'd say, could you preach this one? I got 15 people come. Listen, if you bring 15 people to any of these meetings, you can have a say in what I'm going to preach about. I'm serious. And, I said, okay. And I'd preach on the judgment and preach on hell. And he wanted, strong preaching. And he called me on a Sunday afternoon. He said, Brother Lou, Judy said she's coming tonight. Judy said she'll be here. I'll never forget, as I looked back, and she was sitting there just as angry, just as hard, just as skeptical. They belonged to another denomination, and she was fine with that. She was looking around, angry during the preaching time. And somehow or another, when we started lifting up the name of Christ, as we have in this meeting, said, Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus wants you to have eternal life. Not religion. He wants to give you the gift of eternal life. And I'll never forget when the invitation was given, folks came, and I looked back and I watched Judy, and after several verses in the song, she finally very carefully and quietly got up, walked down on this side of the aisle, that's where they always sat, and she got saved by the grace of God. God changed her life. She just had a different countenance. She was so full of joy. They would come to church, and then together they would come, please pray for Michael. Please pray for Dan. Please pray for Katie. I was there at the meeting. I wasn't preaching, but another man was. I was there on a Sunday night when Katie came forward and got saved, a young girl, maybe 10 years old. And then I was there at another meeting and preaching, and his son Danny got saved. And then Dan called me on a Sunday afternoon. They had moved to PA. God changed his life. He apologized to all of his employees. He finally got a much better job as far as being home and family instead of 60, 70, 75 hours a week. And he called me on a Sunday afternoon. He said, Brother Lou, it's all done. He said, we were at the church. I was at the altar, and Michael came up alongside me. And Michael came next to me, and Michael prayed for Christ in his life, and he got saved by the grace of God. You understand, we have a God of completion. We have a God who wants to finish the great work that he started. And he wants to do not only good things for you, but he wants to do great things in every life in this room. As we go to the Lord in prayer, and as we go to the Lord and with our needs, as we pray and beg God for the great petitions of our life, those are the lessons of completion, of compassion, of contrition, of crisis. And this morning, as God's people, I pray that this man would cause us to seek the Lord in these days in which you and I live. Let's bow our heads, please, and our hearts together for prayer. This morning, we won't belabor the service. But around the room, there may be one. There may be several here today. And you're in church, and you came to church, which is a very good thing, a good decision to put God first in your life. There may be one or several here this morning who could say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die, but I would like to be. I'm not sure that I've received that gift of eternal life. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants you to have that free gift. He wants you to know the assurance of sins forgiven. You say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved and going to heaven when I die, but I want to be. I don't want sin to isolate me any further from God. I want it to be cleansed. I want it to be healed. Could I see your hand, please, around the room? You're not sure that you're going to heaven, but you want to be. Could I see your hand, please? Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Please pray for me. Thank you, young man. I want to know that I'm going to heaven someday. I want that gift of eternal life. Anyone else who'd like to say, by God's grace, I want that gift? Could I see your hand? He died on the cross and paid the price for all of your sins that you might have eternal life and rose again. Thank you, son. Others here would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. But I've got some needs in my life, and I want Jesus. I want Him to work in me. I want Him to help me and cleanse me and give me help and strength and make me His close child. I know that I'm saved, but I want the Lord. There's needs in my life that only God can meet, and I want to bring them to Christ today. Could I see your hand, please, around the room? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, many hands. Thank you. I'm going to ask for our musician to play quietly. And if you know that you're going to heaven, you know that you're saved, but you have a need in your life, why don't you come to your great high priest this morning to find a place to kneel before Him at this altar. That's why we have invitation. That's why we have people come to kneel and humble ourselves. Would you come right now? You have a need in your life, and only God can meet it. Would you come right now? As a Christian, would you ask God to have His way? Let Him know what that need is before the Lord. You raised your hand about salvation. You'd like to have that gift of eternal life. You'd like to know that you're going to heaven someday. I'd like for you just to look at me, just only you that you know that you need eternal life. Can I ask you to slip out from your seat this morning? You can have somebody to pray for you and take a Bible and lead you to Christ. Would you slip out right now and just come? Don't be embarrassed. We'll not embarrass you in any way. Would you come right now? We'll show you from the Bible how you can know Christ as your personal Savior, how you can know that you have eternal life. Would you come? You're not joining the church. You're just coming to find Christ and have His gift of eternal life abiding in your heart. You come right now. We have folks here to pray for you and with you. We have people that love you, want to help you to find the Lord in your life. While we're kneeling, while we're praying, I'd like for Pastor to come. He'll be praying for you. He's going to in just a moment. And for the Lord's hand upon you in this place, if you still need to come and trust Christ as your Savior, let's settle that right now. Get it resolved. Pastor, if you can close the invitation as the Lord leads you. Thank you.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you pray? How many would say with my uplifted hand, nobody looking, Pastor, I have a need in my home. I have a need in my home. Would you pray for me? Would you remember me in prayer? How many would lift up your hand this morning and say, Pastor, I have a need in my home. Just pray for me. Slip it up real quick. We see your hands. You can put them down. Thank you. I'm going to say, Pastor, I have a need at work. It's a relationship. It's your job. There's a need at work that I have, and I need you. I need your help. How many would say, pray for me, my work? How many would say, I have a need there? All right. You put your hands down. Without knowing, God knows. He wants to meet your need. The Bible says that He didn't spare His own Son, and if He offered Him up, that He's willing to do anything to help you if we'll come. Maybe this morning you can finally just accept what it is and bring it to Christ. The amazing thing about that leper is he had all confidence that Jesus could make him clean. The statement that tells it all is, if thou wilt. He gave him the option, knowing fully that he could. Well, that's a humility that we could leave here and be bettered with. How many would say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I want to be saved today. Would you pray for me? Could I just see that hand this morning? Pastor, I don't know for sure if I died today I'd be in heaven, but I would like to know. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Anybody like that? Just slip it up real quick. We'd like to help you. We'd love to take you, show you from the Bible how you can know Christ. Anybody? Pastor, pray for me. I'm lost. All right. Let's stand together one more time as the piano continues to play. Father in heaven, I do pray for these. Lord, many of them raise their hand. They have needs in their home. God, I don't know what that is, but you do. Lord, certainly we all know what it's like to have an issue, a problem, a burden at home. And Lord, many times we don't know what to do. And now I think we've learned today, God, what we need to first do is come to you. It's amazing what a humble, repentant spirit would bring to a home. And I pray today for these homes that have needs. Lord, even if they didn't raise their hand, I pray that you'd meet that need because they're coming to you even right now as we speak. Lord, I pray for those that have needs on the job. Lord, regardless of what that need is, you know you're already there. God, you're the one that makes all things good and right. You're the one that gives us a new beginning. Your mercies are new every day. So I pray that your grace would abound in these situations. I pray that where there's sin, grace would much more abound. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to bow ourselves before you and just declare, if thou wilt, thou canst. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring victory after victory. And Lord, that patience in these situations would have her perfect work. And Lord, I believe you've already started that work here this morning. I pray you continue. Help us to work that out now with fear and trembling. And help us to be grateful for what you're going to do. Pray that you'd be with these that have raised their hand, that they are in need of being saved. God, I pray that today they'd let us talk to them. I pray that they would be saved. And I pray, Lord, you wouldn't let them alone. I pray that you'd watch over us as we dismiss here shortly. You dismiss us by your grace. Bring us back at the appointed hour. Thank you for the time. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.